John chapter 8, verse 37 through to verse 51. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. The Jews answered him, Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honour my Father, and you dishonour me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death.
Great, let's pray as we come to God's words. Father, thank you so much that you speak to us. Thank you that you speak to us by sending your Son, the Lord Jesus. And please, we recognise that it's not always easy to hear and to believe what he says. So give us your Spirit, help us now to listen and to understand and to believe, we pray in his name. Amen. It's true, isn't it, that some things matter a lot more than other things. I remember having to learn that when I was at primary school. I can't quite remember which year of school I was in, but at the start of every term, we used to do a fire drill. And I can clearly recall the teacher saying, they probably said this quite a lot, don't stop to grab your bags. Don't stop to go back and get your pencil case. Getting out of the building alive is much more important than that. It's clearly left an impression on me, maybe because I actually had to think it through. Is that true? I think at the time it was a hard choice between saving, you know, my brand new Transformers pencil case and my own life. But the teacher was right, wasn't she? My life mattered a lot more than my stuff. As we continue listening to Jesus in John's Gospel this morning, he draws out some things that matter most, that matter a lot more than other things. In our passage this morning, Jesus is still in dialogue with those keen religious Jews. He's talking to a group of people who think they know what really matters. These are the kind of religious people who are absolutely sure that they're holding on to what matters. But in this morning's passage, Jesus is out to show them that they've got it wrong. If you like, they're holding on to a pencil case when really they should be taking action to save their lives. In this morning's passage, as we listen in, Jesus shows us what matters most, what's really valuable and what counts. You see, above all, he wants them to see how they treat him and how well they listen and respond to him that matters. And Jesus isn't doing that just to be right. He's not doing that just to win an argument here. No, he's being like my teacher. He does it so that they will hold on to what's most important in life, so that, if you like, they find the road to safety. He's like that teacher carefully instructing us in what matters most. So it'll help if you open your Bible. We're in John chapter 8, and we'll be looking at verses 37 to 51. We'll take the passage in two halves, and in each half we're going to see one aspect of what Jesus says matters most. In the first half, from verse 37 down to 41, we'll see that the first side of it, what matters most, is our response to Jesus. Our response to Jesus. And then in the second half, we'll see that the second aspect of what matters most is whose children we are. Whose children we are. So first, let's have a think about our response to Jesus. Join me in verse 37. Jesus starts by saying that he knows what they think is important. Have a look down with me at verse 37. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. Surrounded by this crowd of keen religious Jews, Jesus says he knows that they are descended physically from Abraham. That's what they're holding on to, if you like, as being really important in life. Being a descendant of Abraham, that's a big deal for these guys. After all, it was Abraham's descendants who were going to be God's people. Abraham's descendants who can look forward to that new world that God had promised. They would have pointed to their culture, their temple, their weekly worship in a building that they thought of as God's place, and thought, yes, we're in, we are God's people. See, they thought they were in the right with God because they were from the right family. But Jesus points out a problem to them. The way they're treating God doesn't actually match up. Have a look down at verse 37 and 38. He says, I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your Father. See, Jesus says here, yes, you might well be descended physically from Abraham, but the way you're treating me shows that you're actually very, very far from God. It seems here that Jesus is showing them that something matters much, much more than outward religion. And that's, what do they make of him? After all, he's the one who's telling them the truth from God. He's the one who's from above, as we've been hearing. He's the one who's come from God, who is teaching them what God the Father says. So because they're trying to ignore him and silence him, even kill him, well, that shows where they stand with God. They are actually his enemies. Jesus goes on to explain what they would do if they really knew God. Have a look at verse 39 and 40, a bit further down. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. Jesus explains that if they were really Abraham's children, then they would do what Abraham did. If you like, they would take on the family likeness, as Harry was showing us with those pictures earlier. Like father, like son. See, if they want to show that they're really Abraham's children, God's people, well, then they need to behave in a similar way to Abraham. What would that mean? Well, Jesus explains. He says it would mean, well, listening to God instead of trying to silence him. It would mean believing God instead of ignoring him. See, Jesus is saying Abraham was a man who listened to God. If you remember back in Genesis, we looked at it last term if you were with us. And Abraham didn't just listen to God, he believed what God said. And Jesus says, well, Abraham's true children, or those who will inherit that future new world, they are people who behave like Abraham did. The key thing that Jesus wants us to see here is that he himself speaks for God. And so he spells that out for them again. Have a look at verses 41 and 42 with me. You are doing the works of your own father. "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, then you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own." Jesus is saying that when we listen to him, our response to him isn't a response to him alone. Jesus speaks for God. He's unique in that way. See, as he says, he's not come on his own. The Father sent him. And what that means is that Jesus can say to these very religious people who are listening to him, "You don't even know God." He can say that because they don't want to listen to him. It doesn't matter how good or religious or how often they attend the temple. It doesn't matter whether they're from a good family or can trace their descendants back to Abraham. The only thing that really matters is whether they listen to Jesus, because he speaks from God. I can remember when I was 18 and I first realized for myself what Jesus is saying here. I was brought up going to a church most weeks, and I guess that I assumed that God must want people to go to church and be good. In my teenage years, I started to feel a bit guilty that perhaps I didn't go to church enough, or that my life wasn't religious enough, that I should do more, and then, well, then I'd be fine with God. But then a friend explained to me that actually none of that counted for anything. That you can be really religious and come to church every week and look the part, but actually not really know God at all, as Jesus is saying here. In fact, the only thing that matters before God is that we listen to Jesus and believe him. When we grasp it, Jesus' message here is actually both challenging and liberating for us if we understand him at this point. If you think about it, it's challenging because we quite like it being about us and what we do and being religious, as these religious Jews did as well. It can be nice, can't it, for us to look at how we perhaps help out at church or how often we come and say, "Surely God thinks I'm okay. Surely I'm in." But Jesus is challenging us to see that those things before him really count for nothing, even though they're good things to do. And also when we see what Jesus is saying here, it's not just challenging, it's also liberating. If what counts before God is that we simply come to Jesus as our teacher and trust him, well, we can do that whoever we are and whatever we've done and whatever life is throwing at us and however rubbish we feel on the inside. You see, we don't have to be strong to know Jesus. The only thing that matters before God is, will we simply come and listen and believe the one who he sent? So that's the first side of what matters most. It's our response to Jesus. Let's move on to the second half of the passage and think about the second side of what Jesus is showing matters more than anything. And that's whose child we are. Whose child we are. Jesus is clear that their reaction and response to him is important. And he goes on to tell them why. He goes on to tell them that it's because it shows something about them. It shows what they're like. Have a look at verse 42 again with me. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me." When they claim to be God's children, when they claim to know God, he points out that they're not. And it is their response to Jesus that shows that they are not. To be God's child here, it's the same idea that we've been thinking about all the way through this chapter in John's Gospel. It's another way of saying being one of God's people. Another way of saying being forgiven by God, or one of Abraham's children. Another way of thinking it is it's someone who won't die in their sins, but can be saved and can look forward to inheriting everything God has promised in that new world, to be a child of God. And Jesus says they don't belong to any of that. God isn't their father. In fact, they have quite a different father. Have a look at verse 43 and 44. Jesus says, "Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Jesus is outright shocking here, isn't he? The shocking way that Jesus puts it is that these people talking to him are children of the devil. We might find it hard to imagine that Jesus can point to these seemingly good and religious people and say that. It's certainly a really serious phrase. He's not mincing his words here, is he? It'll help us first to see that Jesus here doesn't mean that they're involved in the occult in some way or some kind of devil worship. No, he's bringing in the character, the person of the devil here, to tell the Jews who they are most like. By the children of devil here, Jesus means that they are behaving like the devil behaves. They are doing what he does. That they are acting like him. See, when anyone refuses to listen to Jesus, when they won't accept the truth that Jesus tells us about ourselves, when we want to silence him and ignore Jesus, well, they and we are showing that same spiritual DNA, not from God, but from the devil. My dad worked for his whole working life at a company called J.N. Beardsley & Sons. I wasn't allowed to go into the family business. I was the first generation for a while that wasn't allowed to. He started work there when he was 15. Working for his dad. The company built and maintains houses and shops. When my dad started working for his dad, he too became a builder. He learnt the trade and worked in property maintenance. That J.N. Beardsley isn't my dad. It's not even my grandpa. It's my great-grandfather who started the company. Three generations, like father, like son, all in the same line of work, learning the same trade in the same business. And it's that kind of idea that Jesus brings in when talking about the children of the devil here. You see, the devil, if you like, is the spiritual father of everyone who does what he does, like father, like son. To explain what that is, Jesus points us here back to the beginning, to that story in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve first sinned. It was the devil who told the first lie. If you remember, he told Adam and Eve that if they ate the fruit, if they disobeyed God, that they wouldn't die, but would be like God. And that lie, it led to the death of Adam and Eve. So the devil is not just a liar, but a murderer. Jesus wants to those who are listening to him here to see that spiritually they are like the devil because of how they are treating him. Have a look down at verse 45 and 46. "Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me?" Jesus says straight out that we show ourselves to be like the devil when we don't believe Jesus himself. He is the one who tells us the truth from God, the truth about ourselves. There's no reason we shouldn't believe him. He's trustworthy. But often we don't want to believe him. Just like the devil, we're proud. We want to be the ones who are thought of as great. We don't like it when Jesus challenges us. So when Jesus says things that are true but uncomfortable, we ignore him. We silence him. We say, "Oh, he can't possibly mean that." Just like the devil did. So Jesus shows here that naturally all of us are like children of the devil. We prefer to hide in lies than come into the truth. It's sobering stuff, isn't it? But as we move on, we'll see that this is not the only spiritual parent that is on offer. Let's see where Jesus goes next. Have a look at verse 47. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason that you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. See, Jesus is clear here that there is another type of child, not children of the devil, but children of God. No one is born being a child of God, but we can, as Jesus would say, become born again. We can swap parents. So what does a child of God look like according to Jesus? Have a look down at verse 48 to 50. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I'm not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge." See, just like the children of the devil copy their father, so also the children of God copy their father. God, the Father, is in the business of honoring Jesus, his true son. That means that God, the Father, loves Jesus and sent Jesus so that people would believe him and honor him and listen to him. In short, as Jesus puts it here, God the Father is seeking glory for Jesus. He is honoring Jesus. So a child of God will do what God does. A child of God will also honor Jesus. He will respect Jesus. She will listen to Jesus. See the Jews here, they show that they don't honor Jesus. At this point, they simply get personal and start calling him names. But how do we honour Jesus? What marks out the children of God who honour God's Son? Well, look down at the last verse for this morning, verse 51. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." See, the way that we honour Jesus is to obey his word. That's another way of saying listen to Jesus and to believe him. Or, as Jesus says earlier, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. If we honor and listen to Jesus, then we can become children of God. The children of God are the people who listen to Jesus, who respond to Jesus' words in the right way and believe him. So Jesus here in this passage, he sets out for us two aspects, two sides of what matters most. First, we saw that it's our response to him that matters. And second, whose children we are. Are we children of God or children of the devil? When it comes down to it, these two are like two sides of a coin. Two sides of a coin of what it means to be a Christian. If we listen to Jesus, we are God's children, and God's children listen to Jesus. As we close, it'll be worthwhile just thinking through for a minute just how precious that coin is. In the midst of this deeply challenging conversation with strong words, Jesus actually is showing his opponents here just what a precious and an amazing thing is on offer for them. On one side of the coin, Jesus describes here that a Christian is someone who simply listens to him and believes what he tells them. Now, that involves believing some pretty challenging stuff, like we are sinners, that none of us is good, and that by nature we are children of the devil. But it also involves amazing good news, that Jesus is the Son, the one who can save us and bring us into God's family, and that because of Jesus we can be adopted and promised that inheritance. Or to put it another way, he can give life, real life. Whoever obeys my word will never see death. The other side of the coin, Jesus is showing us here that a Christian is someone who is a child of God, who has been set free by the Son, who has been taken out of the spiritual family of the devil and put into that spiritual family, the new family of God. That means that a child of God looks forward to the inheritance that God will give, that new world, life. If you are someone who listens and believes in Jesus, then you are a child of God. That is your new identity. And no one can take that away from you. What that means is that a Christian isn't someone who simply comes back to God asking for forgiveness every time they've done something wrong. No, it goes much deeper than that. A Christian is someone who has become and who will stay a child of God. If you like, we don't flip backwards between the family of God and the family of the devil when we mess up or do good or bad. No, whatever we do, whether we sin, however we feel, if we are listening and believing in Jesus, then we are children of God. What Jesus offers here is the most precious thing imaginable to those who listen to him. Well, we are made into God's children. Our own sin cannot remove that. Our feelings can't get rid of that. And even death can't defeat that. As Jesus says here, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to call you Father when we recognize that we ourselves are only worthy to be called children of the devil. And please forgive us that we so often resist your word and are slow to listen and believe. And please show us just how precious it is that Jesus has come to make us children. We ask that in his name. Amen.